Welcome to the Dr. Obed Obinade podcast. Dr. Obed is a thought leader and apologist who speaks to life's great existential questions of origin, purpose, faith, and destiny with fluency and grace. He is an author and the president of the Christ Cosmopolitan Incorporated, a vibrant apostolic commission that heralds the message of the fullness of Christ. Dr. Obed has seen his ministry soar to great heights over several years, touching the lives of many across the globe through his various ministry platforms. May you grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ as you listen to mind-renewing and heart-enlightening messages by Dr. Obed. Do enjoy this teaching. God bless you.
Today we want to look at a very simple topic, but very profound. It will structure us for religion and give us the hope of eternal salvation. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I don't know how to title it, but what in the world is the world Jesus came to save? Or what in the world is the world that God loves? We know that in John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." God loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. He gave his Son. If you believe in him. So, what in the world is the world that God loves? God so loved the world. Don't think to yourself that you understand everything in John 3:16 as you may think to yourself or the verse may suggest. God, he so loved the world. Which world did God love? It is in the capacity of God to hate, because he said, "I have loved Jacob and I have hated Esau. Esau have I hated and Jacob have I loved." So God hates. Somebody may be now thinking to himself, what is this God that hates? Because God is love. If he loves, why then does he hate? These are subject matters that have been asked ages upon ages and need to be answered if there are answers. Or we should just live in the deception or in the ignorance or in the acceptation, whichever way you want to look at it, that God loves the world, I've been told, and that ends it. Really? No. For God so loved, he so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But God hates. So if God loves the world, and the world to us is all there is, then who will God expend his hatred on? Then God has nobody to hate, because he so loved the world. Because he loves the world. And if he so loves the world, then it is in God's emotions and expressions to hate. So who will he hate? Relax, that's why we're here. Then the same Bible says, "Love not the world." So somebody says, you don't know. You see, he's talking about the things of the world. Then unfortunately, he said, neither the things that are in the world. So don't be quick to say, love not the world means the things that are in the world. Because he already had added saying, neither the things that are in the world. So that is a different matter. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So you are not supposed to love the things that are in the world, but on the subject matter of love not the world, the things in the world are not part of what he's speaking about. Love not the world. Now here he said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Really? Was it not the same love that we find the same John, right, in John 3:16? He said, for God so loved the world. Now he says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So somebody says, contradiction. How? Because those two scriptures are standing in opposition to each other. God so loved the world. Love not the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That actually means that, to begin with, the love of the Father is to love the world. Is it not true? For God so loved the world. So God's love is expressed to the world. So you are to love the world, but you are not to love the world. Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you, but you are supposed to love by the love of the Father. And this love of the Father loves the world. Please, they are not standing contradictory to each other. We need to understand what the world is, especially in the matter of religion. Especially in the matter of religion. Because pure religion is this. Pure religion is this. And pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The world appears yet. Also, pure religion is this, that you visit widows and orphans, that is the fatherless, in their affliction. So it is a kind of provisional love that is expressed in the midst of affliction, pain, hopelessness. This is pure religion. I told you last week, pure religion does not begin with receiving and declaring that Jesus is Lord. It doesn't begin from there. It begins with love in action. Pure religion begins with love in action. Love in motion. Pure religion begins with love in motion. If you got love in motion from the perspective of visiting somebody in their affliction, which is the sign of pure religion, then secondarily, he now says, it is also to keep yourself unspotted from the world. What is the world that we are supposed to keep ourselves unspotted from? Now, we try to know this world and we find that God loves the world. And he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you love the world in the way you should not love the world, in order to love the world, the love of the Father with which he loves the world is not in you. Is it not too much for your head? What I just said. Keep yourself unspotted from the world, because you actually want to be in religion. I told you that religion, most people have always say religion is not life and life is not religion. Don't mind those ignoramus because they don't understand religion. To be religious is to keep an outcry from last week. It's to declare your stance and your faith with a movement. To be spiritual is to grow in religion. So life is in religion. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. That is life. Religion is the encasing of spirituality. And that spirituality has its positive and negative sides. Where we know of satanic spirituality and godly spirituality. And in godly spirituality, we grow in the knowledge of God. He said, we cease not to pray for you when we heard of your faith. He said, we could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babes in Christ. So to be a babe in Christ actually means you are not growing. And now that babe is not one that was freshly born, but it actually means kwashioko. Stunted growth, nepios. One who is being fed, but the thing is not showing up in his body. One who is being given the nourishment, he's eating, but then the nourishment is out of balance for him. He chooses what he likes. Especially if you have a child that only likes cocoa like my son. Then you have a big problem. He doesn't like anything. He just likes cocoa like Pastor David. As if he's the son of Pastor David. You know? Then for sure, choose him to eat. What is out of balance will cause spiritual stunted growth. Is that not what is happening around? Where people decide on what to go with and what not to go with. When everything is supposed to be in balance in the diet. So for some people, they run their spirituality according to their likes and dislikes. But you see, it takes maturity to know what to eat. The more you grow, you don't eat for pleasure any longer. When you're growing, you will know the difference between eating for pleasure and eating for life. Because there are foods that we don't like, but you have to eat it. Because the more you understand, the more you realize that the food you like is actually toxic. A lot of the times, the food we all like. Because that feeds our carnality. It feeds the flesh. But life is not fleshly. Life is spiritual. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the earlier you gather knowledge and understanding in God, even for your dieting, then you understand that God gave us fruits bearing seed and herbs as our diet. You see, it's the knowledge of God. Somebody says it's a science, but it is God's knowledge. And when you receive and imbibe it, you begin to live.
Wisdom, a subject that has befuddled many a believer and remains a mystery to most. Some have said it is the proper application of knowledge. Others have defined it as beautiful cascading and articulation of words. But did you know that wisdom is not learned in the schools of this world and that a believer must never ask for wisdom? Introducing a treasure that would revolutionize this generation and the next. The Seven Pillars of Wisdom, the Hidden Elixir of Life, a riveting book written by Pastor Obed Obinade. In this book, you would come under the inspiration of the Holy Rock of God as the man of God, Pastor Obed, unlocks this mystery, which is wisdom. As you flip each page of this book, you will be built up into a glorious edifice, expressive in works and power. Order a copy of this book now, available in all our bookshops. To place an order, please call us on +233 20 910 5997 or on +233 55 792 6498. You can also get the ebook on Amazon's Kindle app or visit www.christgospelpositon.org for more information. Shalom.
Pastor Obed, always a blessing.
We all like some candies, we all like some chocolates at times, we all like some ice cream. But it is not something you should be living your life on. You may be thinking that's a good life, that's a good life. Then you are swelling, that's a good life, then you are swelling, that's a good life. Hey, then you are gone. That ends you. It has to be KFC. It has to be foods like that. Junk meals. And the thing about them is that is what your body wants. But when you grow, you don't give your body what it wants. You give your body life for growth. Not for pleasure. That is where you begin to understand that the moment you eat and you feel you've eaten, that's dead. That's grave. You are digging a grave. You must not eat to feel you've eaten. That's just by the way. Any day you eat and you've sin. It's wrong to eat and feel you've eaten. Do you know what you're doing? You are giving your body too much work and excess. And that is why, you see, I don't want to say this just by the way. One of the ways that you know you are dying is when you spend too much time in the loo. Because that is death. Rottenness. Not because you're reading, not because you're praying, but you're actually sitting. The longer you are sitting, the more you are dying. It's serious. Listen, it speaks of the death in you. The extent of death in you. We are not talking about those that are constipating. Oh, maybe I'm in time. Oh, dear, we will cry. Because you are harboring death.
We are not talking.
That is how come, just by the way, if you have time and opportunity, make sure that almost every 6 months, you just take some cucumbers and some pineapple and then blend them, and then take them in the morning on a fast. You cleanse your colon by doing that. There are lots of people, they've never cleansed their colon before. No colon cleansing. So, It will open you up right now, even though you've gone to shit, there is still shit in your body. And when you do that, this is just by the way, when you do that, probably when I'm done, I'll let the doctor speak to us about the importance of colon cleansing. If somebody can live his life 50 years, never cleanse his colon before. I'm not talking about running, no. Colon cleansing. Somebody can live 50 years and every day he's carrying shit. That's how come in every 6 months you have to cleanse your colon so that you're free. Very important. And it's so simple. Everybody should do this. Pineapple and cucumber. That's all. You blend it, then you go on a fast with it. And if you do it for like 1 week, you begin to release stones. You see the stones that will come out of you. But don't put yourself in a state of ketosis or shock by that. It's not really important. Somebody say, what's ketosis? We've done that already. So you just do it. Pineapple, cucumber, pineapple, cucumber, pineapple, cucumber. It's that simple. There are quite some technical aspects of that recipe. But to make it simple, just go like that. Very simple. If you want to release stones, then you would need salts to add to it. That's for another time. I want to really start a weight management program. I'm working on it for people. So when it's time, I'll let you come on and I'll show you what to do. So that death will leave you. It is not like we're refusing to grow. But there are practical things you have to do. You can go back and watch my videos. I barely change. Because there is a way to live life. My growth in 5 years is very minimal. And you can take a shot and take a shot of the people. Like those who are in church, like when we are videoing, you go around, then it comes back to me, then it goes back to them. You realize there's significant change. Why? Death. This thing. Death. Death. And one first thing you have to do, colon cleansing. It is a gift to cleanse your colon twice a year. Very important. So that the rottenness in you is gone. This is also spirituality. Because to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For body, soul, and spirit. Oh, Nancy wife. Now you use. Oh, you're looking good. Since you got married, your wife is taking very good care of you. Your wife is taking good care of you. Your wife is killing you. No. I don't know where this came from, but it's important. There are a couple of things you need to structure in life. You prepare against pressure. You prepare against diabetes. You prepare against cancer. That is for the army. There are 12 things you have to prepare and live against. The rest, you give it to the chance and the sovereignty of God. But the moment you hit 30 years, you must live this way. So when I take this, it's against pressure. When I take this, it's against diabetes. When I take this, it's against that. This is not for that meeting. It's army meeting. Now I'm going to talk about them. 12 things you should target. If you are not doing any of them, one of them will hit you and you will die by one of them. 12 things. Very important. Does that mean we will not die? Everybody will die. But you have a choice to live. Said, I place before you life and death. Choose. So you have a choice to live. And to live well. If the keeping grace of God keeps you,
You see, to live, Caleb gives us the clue to living. He said, 45 years old was I, and it's been 40 years now. I am now 85 years grown. Then he said, God has kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, the Lord has kept me alive. So there is a keeping power of God. And there are a lot of things that I would really want to. You see, God in his wisdom has given us insurance. And if you want to leave, I'm going to be doing insurance meeting for the coming year. You insure your life. Coming year, then you insure. Every year, then you insure. There are things concerning tragedy that you need insurance for, spiritual insurance. So that tragedy, before it hits, you escape. Then the thing happens at your back. Spiritual wisdom. These are army issues. And I'm letting you know, there are topics I'll be treating in the army. Proving is not, I'm telling you stuff, serious things about life. So listen, army is life. There are centers of the army we'll be dealing with. I don't know how this came in because I really want to talk on the well, but I think it's important. I preach for life. I preach for life, to give people life, not to finish a sermon and to be done away with. So if there's a reason to pause and to place emphasis on something, I'd rather do it. Make sure you're in the army. You will never regret. It is one decision of your life. Oh man, I don't want to be in the army. You don't know what you will be missing. Those who are in the army will understand the value of having a pastor as a gift, not as a preacher. I say it again. Those who will be in the army will understand the value of having their pastor or a pastor as a gift from God. You will never know what it means to be stricken by stroke instantly and to receive insurance for life against stroke. You will never know what it means till it hits you. But when you insure, it won't mean anything for you. It is like driving a car that is insured. You think that damn the insurance company till you get into an accident. Then you value insurance. But if you drive and you go and you come, you think that you are your own boss and it's in the experience of your driving and keeping to the standards and the laws in the road, and you go and you come back and everything is well with you. So risk that you never risked risks you. Very important. People of God, there is a way to live, to be spiritually minded. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now hear this. Let's get back to our discourse. So we see a certain acclaimed hitherto ambiguity about the world that God loves and why he tells us not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world, and that if we do, the love of the Father with which he loves the world is not in us when we are trying to love the world. It's dangling in my head, but we'll solve it. Please get this. God's love is expressed as pure religion. God's love is expressed as pure religion. You need to understand what pure religion is. Pure religion is to visit the afflicted and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. So God's love is expressed as pure religion. In which way? Number one, by the showing of the richness of his mercy. When we read the book of Ephesians, the chapter number 4, the verse 2 to the verse 6, the word of God says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of peace, the spirit, even in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, verse 5 and verse 6, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, he is through all and in you all. Then he also speaks of the richness of his mercy. But God commended his love towards us. In that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The richness of his mercy. The richness of his mercy. The mercy of God is so rich. It is bountiful. The richness of his mercy. The richness of his mercy. When we speak of the mercy of God, we're looking at the bounties that God supplies to the man that is in affliction. The richness of his mercy. When we say mercy is rich, then we mean that in the face of justice, the penury of justice cannot challenge the bounty of mercy. In Ephesians chapter 2, the verse number 4, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, in verse 6. And had raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So watch the verse 4. Particularly he says, God who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. For God so loved the world. What are we talking about? We are talking about the expression of his mercy towards us. The richness of his mercy overrides the penury of justice. Hear me well on this count of God's love. When we say God so loved the world, we are talking about how he lavished his mercy. When he was supposed to exact justice on the wrath, vessels of his wrath, mercy stepped in. For the Lord our God is the hope of Israel. And the Bible also says, Christ is our hope. So hope is a person. Mercy is a person. The hope of Israel. The hope of Israel is not just expectation of things to come, but rather a personified being that must step in the day of the affliction and set them free. For God will show mercy upon whom he will show mercy. It does not mean, hear this, when we say God is going to show mercy upon whom he will show mercy, we are not just saying that God had to kill you and he didn't kill you, but God actually lavished the richness of a person to take off cover your pain, to fix your affliction for you. Then you're looking at mercy. Mercy is not abstract. Mercy is a person that visits you in your affliction, and that is pure religion.
Thanks so much for listening. We trust that you've been blessed with truths for life. Be sure to subscribe to the Dr. Obed Obinna Day podcast to receive new messages every week. Until next time, remain blessed. Shalom.